the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Sports Report Podcast, episode number 54 of the Sports Report. I am your host, Mr. William D. Morgan. Sorry for the late start. We had some technical issues. Computers running a little slow. Go away wouldn't record, but we finally got everything up and going. We shall not be denied tonight. You guys can join in the podcast. 706-993-4606 is that number for you to call in. Once again, that number is 706-993-4606. I already got a couple of callers with me right now. First, let me go to Doom. Doom, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good, good, good. And we also got Gene from Cleveland. Gene, how you doing, man?
From Canton, Ohio.
There you go. Okay, from Canton. There you go.
Hall of Fame City, yeah.
There you go.
But you can say Cleveland. It's only an hour away. How are everybody doing tonight?
Ah, man, doing good. All right, a couple of things you want to go ahead and go over very, very quickly before I move into the meat of the show. Jimmy, I shared an article with you earlier. It's been reported that Dan Gilbert believes he can build a championship team without LeBron. You buying that, man?
This guy is, all I can say about Dan Gilbert is he's unbelievable. He never, ever feels like he's taking a loss.
Right.
When LeBron left the first time, you know, he wrote the letter. He felt like, you know, he still could establish a great team after he left. They never made the playoffs. LeBron comes back. They reconcile. They say, "Hey, okay, you said what you said, and I'm gonna come back to Cleveland." I don't think LeBron came back to Cleveland for him per se, but they go to the playoffs. Not only the playoffs, but they also make the finals four straight times and get a title out of it. Now he's talking about leaving again, which is, you know, totally fine. And what you have left now is, you have an opportunity to have a playoff team, I truly believe, because they set themselves up with these picks. But a championship team, no. I got one stat, and then, you know, here's a stat. When Kyrie was there their last year, I believe they won 51 games, okay? And I was with Kyrie, okay? And they lost in the finals. And 2017-2018, which is this year, he led a team that was assembled, then disassembled, and brought in some younger guys or whatever, and he went 50 games. So if Dan Gilbert doesn't understand the impact that he makes on this team or that franchise, too bad for him. I mean, it's called insanity. You're trying to go about the same way, and it's going to have the same result. So to me, that's insanity. I think it's unbelievable that he even would let that come out of his mouth.
Doom, are you buying that statement that Dan Gilbert can build a championship team without LeBron?
No. I mean, they're going to be a draft lottery team next year.
And just a few fun facts you guys should know. He has until July 29th to opt out with the Cavs. So we'll know before free agency, which is July 1st, what his intentions are and what he's going to do. A lot of people say, you know, he's gonna go, but you might have a few folks. Gene, I know you hope he stays, right?
Well, at this point, you know, I mean, he came back and, you know, he fulfilled the promise. He done a lot for the city of Cleveland. You know, he brought him the first title in, what, 52 years or whatnot. I'm completely fine with it because he has to be able to live his life for him. I mean, he's earned to be able to do what he wants at this point. Right. You know, we feel like the first time that he left, you know, he kind of left us kind of in shambles because of the simple fact of the way he went about it. I still say it was a basketball decision, and it was a successful basketball decision, but I think it was the way he went about it the first time with the decision. And then now this time it's more, you can tell he played his butt off. He gave us everything he had, and if this is the end all be all, I'm completely fine with it, and I think Cleveland completely fine with it too. They had, I think on Get Up, they were actually at the game, and they were asking, you know, fans how they felt about, you know, him possibly, you know, leaving. And I think out of 10 people, 9 or 10 people, 7 of them was okay with it. So I think we're not going to burn any jerseys. I think it's completely fine. It was a report that came out today that said his kid is enrolled into a school in California. But that's still, Gary Payton actually said that. But, you know, that's yet to be really clarified. But I'm okay with it, and I think Cleveland's okay with it.
All right. Let's get into some of the more pressing stuff about LeBron Doom. I know you want to talk about his latest issue. LeBron says he pretty much played the last 3 games with a broken hand. How do you guys view LeBron?
I call BS on that.
How do you view LeBron after learning about this? Doom, we'll start with you. How you looking at LeBron after knowing this news, Doom?
It sounded like an excuse.
So hello? So you call BS?
Yeah.
What about you, Gene? You calling BS on that, man?
How so about the whole broke hand situation?
Yeah.
You know, injuries in professional sports are sometimes, you know, they're not disclosed. I think in this situation, if Golden State probably would have an idea that did happen. We don't know for sure if they did or they didn't, or if there was speculation about it, but I think it goes to show there was a warrior mentality there, like we're just going to keep it quiet and I'm just going to go out and play. And I think if you look at game 1 versus 2, 3, and 4, you've seen a slight decline in this game. Could have been he had been outdone by Golden State? Could have been. Or did the injury really affect his play as far as how he was effectively going to attack the rim or effectively shoot? And I think we've seen no stats that his shots, field goal attempts went down in 2, 3, and 4, and he attacked the basket more. So I think it did affect him, and I think him keeping it to himself and not saying nothing, I think that's perfectly fine, because I think we all know that, you know, teams, you know, say that there are certain players or stars injured on other teams, and they don't be. They just try to get rest. But I think this actually was the case, and I think he handled it the best way he could.
See, I would agree with you, but if your hands hurt, why was he going up for layups and dunks? See, I think he had a bruised hand, but I don't think he had a broken bone, because, dog, I've broken an ankle. And if bones broke, you're not going to sit here and throw a game 3, his highlight of throwing the thing off the backboard and dunking it.
No, so, I agree. I don't think it was broke. I think it was, I think it was a contusion. I think it was badly bruised. But I think it has some mobility issues. And you've seen the swelling. I think they had a couple photos of where his hand was side by side, where he was just taking it in the game. They was just taking snapshots, and you could see it was obviously swollen. I don't think it totally took away from his game, but I think it did have some moments and some problems for him to do some things.
Well, that's, to me, that's like, he came to the press conference, and that's like an excuse, man. He should have just owned up to it.
Owned up to the broken hand or the loss?
Both, because you already know.
How did I know you was going to go
there? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, on a side note, and something that kind of made me upset. Let me see if I can find this. For those of you who don't know, we have a Sports Report group page over on Facebook. Definitely check it out. Look up, search Sports Report. Feel free to check it out when you get a chance. Let me see. I posted it earlier, and J.R. Smith said something very, very interesting on his Facebook page. If I can find it, I don't think I can.
Yeah, I got it in front of me.
There we go. It's almost a gift and a curse. You play on his team, you're playing with the best player in the world, and on the other side, if you win, he will get all the credits, and if you lose, you will get all the blame. That's probably why Kyrie Irving wanted to be traded. J.R. Smith. That's from his official Facebook page.
Talking to the real finals MVP right there.
But the thing that upsets me the most is the fact that Ty Lue stuck with him. And
I would have went with D Wade instead of J.R. Smith, but
I don't know if J.R.
I think he completely lost his damn mind.
Yeah, me too.
But you know, in the beginning,
I think JR knows that he could potentially be traded, and I don't know if anybody would really pick up.
He's not being traded. They will cut his ass. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're fine.
I think he has an idea that he's going to be waived, and I think that's the thing about those guys. When I think about with LeBron, I mean. He done a lot for JR. I think he made JR, like I said in the earlier podcast, I think he made him a better player in that last 2 year stretch. Not this year so much. I think this year he kind of just was like, I'm just hanging around. I'm just going to get paid, and if we happen to finish in the finals, we happen to finish in the finals. But, right. But to go there and say, that LeBron is, a gift and a curse, is totally a lopsided statement. And he's basically saying if we lose, all the blame goes on the team, but if we win, LeBron gets all the credit. But I'm almost certain when we won that championship in 2016 that Kyrie got a lot of praise for the shot.
No, he didn't. It was all on LeBron's nuts.
You think that seriously?
Yes, dude. If you sit back and to this day, you listen to these commentators, they talk about that one thing in Cleveland. They don't talk about Kyrie's shot. They talk about the people who's already against LeBron bring up Kyrie's shot, but they don't talk about Kyrie Irving. That's a proven fact, dog. You can listen to the shows today. They talk about LeBron's that, because Kyrie sealed the deal and closed it for Cleveland. He hit the big shot. They don't talk about that in sports. They talk about LeBron James the whole time. So I'll call.
Yeah, I think they went with the sequence. And Will, the sequence was JR obviously running the floor,
right?
Disrupting Iguodala, and then the second sequence, part of that sequence was obviously the block, and then the kick out to Kyrie. I say 50-50 because I think they did talk about Kyrie a lot, especially after the fact when everybody found out that he was getting traded. You know what I mean? So then the media kind of tip off and say, hey, you know what? This is the guy that hit the shot. He's Robin. But, at the end of the day, they did praise him enough to where they felt like that this team would be a different team without him.
Right. And like I said, we don't know I love having you on because you give us a local perspective of that. We don't see that. Myself being in Georgia. Doom, you're in Virginia? Doom, are you there?
I think.
Doom, are you there? Mae Doom left us.
Yeah, I had
okay. Okay, cool. You're a Virginia, right? So I think from a local perspective, we don't get quite the same thing that you do.
Yeah. No, we don't.
Yeah, we don't get the local perspective of that.
You don't get the coverage. You get more Hawks and Braves. Doom get Wizard. Yeah. Close to DC. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Another question I have. What does this sweep mean for LeBron's legacy?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you can.
It's a part of the journey. And it's a part of the process. I think it's going to solidify him actually leaving Cleveland. Because if you win a title, then more likely LeBron stays, without a shadow of a doubt, because he felt like if you win one with the team that was assembled, maybe we can add a couple more pieces and we can, you know, keep it going. So I think the sweep kind of is a good thing to a degree, because it allows him to venture off and hopefully, you know, get with another team or another franchise. Which I don't think any franchise he goes to, as far as the ones that are after him or are courting him, I think those franchises are a little bit bigger than LeBron. But I think him going to those franchises like San Antonio, the Lakers, Philly, you know, those are already established, you know, franchises, big market to me. And I think, you know, overall, the sweep just put, It's like a storybook ending. It's like we're starting to see that part of LeBron's career, the window closing. You know, it's the window closing, and now we're giving him a chance to kind of do what he wants. You know, I mean, I know what the people, the media wants. You know, they want LeBron to put a super team together. I think LeBron just wants to go somewhere, take off half that workload, and still be able to win some games and stay in the finals or stay in the playoffs.
What you think, Doom?
Yeah, I think it did affect his legacy, because he's been swept twice. And, you know, it's kind of hard to bounce back to that.
It definitely is. It's hard to bounce back after, you know, you get swept.
Right.
You know, this late in his career, everything they went through as a team throughout the season, and you know, it's a combination of a couple factors. But I think, you know, the sweep pretty much helped the decision if he's going somewhere else. I think here, in this area, you know, it's mixed. It's like, okay, you know, why would he leave? Why would he stay? But when you get into the demographics and when you get into the financial arena, you know, I mean, they're going to have to do a lot to keep a team together versus him just leaving, and they can put something together and still be a contender. I don't absolutely think the Cavs are do like they done before and go to 19 games after he left. I think the last year he was there, I think they won 61 games. And then when he left and went to Miami, they won 19 the next year. So I don't think that's going to be a big of a drop off. I still see 40, 50. I still see 40, 45 games, maybe, even without LeBron. But it just, those other teams in the East are just going to get, you know, that much better next year. And so I don't see them actually, you know, getting to the finals. But what I actually do see is him going somewhere that's fitting for what he wants to do with his family. So he wants to ride off in the, I think he wants to eventually ride off in the sunset. At some point, trying to be Golden State. And I think that's what he's trying to figure out. What is the best move for me to be able to defeat them, because I don't think he'll be satisfied without at least beating them before he leaves the game.
All right.
Yeah,
We'll see where he ends up. But let's jump over to the other side of things for a minute. Let's talk about the two-time finals MVP, Kevin Durant. How close is Kevin Durant to passing LeBron? Doom, I'll let you start off on that one.
He's inching. He's getting close. But the issue is, and they didn't talk about it today on sports media, is that LeBron didn't want to guard KD these whole finals. I think he was a little scared. He wasn't playing no defense. It was a lot of stuff. And this is supposed to be one of the great duels of our time. And my man didn't even show up to try to stop him or, you know, do anything.
So do you think it'll take... Do you think it'll take another, maybe another MVP, another title to at least equal what Bron has done?
Do I?
Anybody can. Anybody can jump in.
What'd you say, Will?
Anybody can jump in on that one. Do you think it'll take another title? Do you think it'll take another Finals MVP? What do you think it'll take for KD to catch Bron?
Well, they got the right recipe right now. I mean, you know, the team is pretty much intact. I think they're going to restructure his contract, or he's up for contract. And then you got, I think, Klay Thompson. Then you got a few of those guys that's down the bench that like I think Livingston and a couple of them other ones, you know, got a restructure contract. But for KD, this team is very easy to be on, and what he brought to Golden State, I mean, it was just like you got so much there, and then you add him, and here's the credit that KD don't get, and I will give him his credit. KD can play the game of basketball, and he's very good. And it's not like he went to Golden State as a piece that would be a defender or a piece that would be a breather. He was actually, you know, his talent is very good. And it showed in these finals, and it showed in the finals last year. It showed what type of player he is. I think him, when he was in OKC, with the lack of touches that he could have had because of Westbrook's dominance of the ball, we didn't really get to see what he really can do.
Right.
Do I think he can lead a team by himself without these four? No, I don't think he can do that. I think he can be very, very good with very, very, with decent players. And he was very, very good with good players. So, and that's because I think they came to the conclusion as a team, as Golden State, as a team, said, we pick our shots. We're not going to be selfish. You know, everybody's going to get a good look. If you're the hot guy, you're the hot guy. You know, keep it going. And I think that was the mindset for Golden State, and I think that's what made KD set himself apart. Do I think he's close to LeBron? He's still got a little ways to go. Still got a little bit of ways to go. I think if he maybe come back next year and he can straight dominate, but it's kind of hard to straight dominate on a team because you got Steph Curry there, and then you got Klay Thompson, and you got those pieces, you know, that are always going to seem like that they're going to be the difference maker. So, but I think if he can outshine them throughout the season, then yeah, I mean, he's getting close to LeBron, but not. I don't know if it would be by the time LeBron retires, but I don't see him passing him like no time soon.
But the one thing KD does have going for him is that he's somewhat younger. So that's the one thing that he does have going for him, that he is somewhat younger than LeBron, and his playing days are. The bulk of his playing days are still ahead of him. So we'll see. Now, let me throw this out there. KD has already got two championships, two final MVPs. You brought it up earlier. You don't really see him being able to lead a team. But should he leave Golden State in order to try to establish himself somewhere else? Should he go back home to maybe the Wizards? Or should he stay where he is?
Wow. Oh, that's a really good question. I'm gonna go ahead and let Doom. You go ahead. I gotta mull that one over.
Well, the Wizards. Nah, I don't think he. From what I'm hearing today, he might be retiring at 35.
I saw that too. I saw that story too.
Yeah, I think that was reported 5 years or something like that. They said.
Yeah.
I mean, what else he's got to prove?
Yeah, and I think him going to DC would be like a contract thing with. Golden State, maybe he signs two more years there, three more years or whatever, and then maybe after that because I'm pretty sure they'll start. You'll see the downside of him here, and after next year, you'll see the downside. So that would be something, a homecoming for him to go to DC once you know they know in Golden State the run is done. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, but I'm looking at that Golden State roster. I mean, Golden State roster, Washington Wizards roster, and you got John Wall, you got Bradley Beal, and for some reason, those guys just can't get it done. I don't know if it's chemistry. I don't know if it's coaching. I've always questioned Scott Brooks to be a competent coach, particularly with what he did over in OKC. Yeah, he got him to the finals, but you know, management sort of kind of handcuffed him a little bit when he let go of Reg Jackson, when they let go of James Harden, and decided to keep Serge Ibaka, and it pretty much made it the Westbrook KD show and management showed all that love toward Russ. I don't know, man. I would kind of like to see it, because maybe KD could be that stabilizing factor between Beal and Wall with the Wizards.
Yeah, he could.
Well, I mean, saying if he goes back to,
yeah, and they keep and the Wizards keep that team that's presently constructed.
I like that team. I just can't, and I try to watch them because we had my people had trouble with the Wizards as far as the backcourt was concerned. You know, with Wall and I mean, they're
probably,
you know what I'm saying? I think they're probably in the top. Probably four or five backcourts, maybe three.
Yeah.
You know, you got McCollum, you know, and Damon Lillard down there. I think they probably the best, but everybody will say Steph and, you know, Clay and those guys are good. But I don't know. I don't know if he'd have the same passion if he does that. You know what I mean?
Right.
If he, you know, I think with these guys, they energize him here in Golden State. I mean, he's totally a different player than he was in OKC, and I think they rallied around him and you know, gave him the confidence to be this two-time MVP, this two-time champion. I don't know if those guys down there, because I look at the way they play down in Washington, and you can almost see a sense of, like, selfishness, like with Don Wall, a little bit of selfishness with Beal, and you got, you know, you can tell that team isn't bought all the way in with each other, being good teammates like this Golden State team is. One thing I always notice about Golden State is after those guys score, it's high fives all the way up the court. You know what I mean? It's high fives on the bench. So that's the type of chemistry you need, and I think that's what LeBron was, you know, speaking on about how well of a unit this is. You know, people don't, they just looking at the team that was assembled through the draft and a couple picks here, but I think LeBron was speaking on how well these guys, I think, respect each other and play well with each other. So, you know, him to go to D.C., I think John Wall wants to be a Durant. I think Beal wants to be a Durant. I think they all want to be these superstars that they're not. And so it'd be kind of hard for, I think, him to come there and they just say, yeah, well, we're going to keep, you know, pumping you and pushing you to be a better player, because I think they want to do their thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna ask this question. And I want honest opinions here, guys. What team should LeBron join?
Philly. He's not going to Houston. Before I gotta run.
All right, man. Appreciate calling in, Doom.
All right.
All right, man. Gene, what team should LeBron go to?
What team I think should go to?
Yeah.
San Antonio Spurs. I think they have a situation with Kawhi Leonard, which I think is, behind closed doors, some negotiating going. There's a possibility of LeBron to get there. I think he'd be willing to stay. The second thing is LeBron hasn't had a solid coach in his whole career. And I would think this would be the this would be the icing on the cake for him to actually play for a guy like Greg Pop. when you look at the pieces there, you look at LaMarcus Aldridge. It's a true big man that can play the game, can shoot very well for a big man. I think you reach out to a C.J. McCollum because of the aging backcourt there. I mean, you got some young guys, Patty Mills and those guys still there, but those guys aren't like bona fide stars, bona fide top 10 point guards or whatever. But you got a guy like C.J. McCollum, who's probably, like I said, in the, probably the top one or two backcourts in the NBA.
Right.
And you reach out to this guy and you try to get this guy there. But I think San Antonio makes the most sense as far as what he's done in his career and what he has had in his career. I think it makes the most sense.
All right. And I do agree with you, by the way. To get my take on things, I know he's a big fan of Pop. I know Pop is a fan of his. So
yep.
To see that happen would be a great thing. Let's talk about a couple of current issues we got going on, some current news items we got going on today. Former Toronto Raptors head coach Dwayne Casey agrees to a 5-year deal to become the head coach of the Detroit Pistons. Can he turn that team around? In full disclosure, I've always said about Dwayne Casey, I think if you get him some veteran talent, I think you really see him shine through as a coach. But this whole thing, to me, lies on Blake Griffin. He can't have any excuses.
I think Blake makes a lot of sense over there. I think, he's worth his weight in gold. Dwayne Casey, I really, because Toronto's one of those teams that never stuck out since Chris Bosh left. Even though they got the players they got, they just never stuck out. So I really only watched them primarily when they, come to Cleveland or they're playing Cleveland. It's one of those markets, but Dwayne Casey, I don't know a lot about him, but just over this last year, he seemed like he could possibly be very knowledgeable about the game. But to some extent, when you win Coach of the Year and then the team just turns around and outright fire you, it kind of makes me think that it was more the players than it was the coach.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, and he became the fall guy. And, but I think him going to Detroit, which is one of those teams I had a couple years ago, being what Philly is today.
Mm-hmm.
And it just all fell apart, And if he can turn it around, which I don't know if he's that type of coach. I don't feel he's that type of coach. I feel he's a better Tyronn Lue. He's a better Scott Brooks. He's right there, but he's not in the Greg Popovich or Boston's coach. What is Boston's coach name?
Brad Stevens.
What's his name?
Brad Stevens.
Yeah, he's not a Brad Stevens. He's not in that, even in that arena, but he could be. Because I don't think he's a player's coach. I don't think those guys. Steve Kerr is a player's coach.
Right.
You know, those Right. So he's not a player's coach. I think he's more business than he is personable as far as coaching. So if he comes in there with that mindset, just depending on the players that's there in Detroit, will it be there when the season starts? It's all predicated on if he has a willingness to they're buying into what he's trying to do. But like I said, just from a coaching standpoint, I mean, he don't rattle my cage.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
right.
I think he's okay.
Right. He's not a hire that makes you say, ooh, wow. He doesn't give you the wow factor.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't give me a wow factor. I think he just is one of those guys that's fortunate enough to be coaching in the NBA.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't see him as, you know, like everybody's ranting and raving about this guy. I think Detroit was desperate in their situation. Because I think they got a good cast. You got Blake, you got Drummond, you got Reggie Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that pretty much, you know, they got some younger guys, you know, that's there. Luke Kennard, he's like 21.
Yep.
Henry Ellison, 21. You know, those guys are young. And I think the average age is probably about 25 over there. So can he work with young players? You know, it's yet to be seen.
Well, one thing I think that will help him a lot, I think he has a little bit more talent than with the Pistons than he had over with Toronto. Kyle Lowry, let's just face it, undersized point guard. You have DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. someone who just now found his shot and wasn't mm-hmm. wasn't the most consistent shooter in the world. And everybody had the LeBron James psyche. They petrified of LeBron. So all that doesn't make for a very good combination. But I think over here with the Pistons, I think you might see Blake Griffin shine through more. Vet player Andre Drummond shine through a little bit more. I love Reggie Jackson's talent. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can translate that to greatness, but I love his talent. So we shall see.
Well, they're paying him an awful lot.
Yeah.
You know, for a 6-year guy. But to be honest, I think Blake might be the oldest on this team.
He might be.
I mean, well, not the oldest, but the experience-wise, what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has the most experience out of these guys, and I think they're paying him almost $200 million.
Yeah.
You know, that's an awful lot of money. Nobody complains about that, by the way. You know, they talk about Tristan Thompson, he got 80, and then you got Blake, who stays hurt a lot. So,
that's
a fair point. Those three pieces, huh?
That's a good point. That's a fair point.
Yeah, you know, and they really, you know, Blake Griffin hasn't been that out, I mean, that sparkle for a team. Of course, he wouldn't have left the Clippers. But, you know, I don't think he's, at this point, maybe his offseason will be better and he'll get in the gym and he'll tighten up some things and he'll come out and be spectacular. He'll have a full year. He'll understand the system. And maybe, but that's the guy that's got the most experience. So, obviously, you want him to be your leader. And but I just don't think that the team is too young. I think they got guys with 2, 3, 4, or 5 year experience. I mean, they're not seasoned. I don't even think Kate Felder's over there from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they even got him in. You know, and Kate Felder was just, you know, too small. You know, not explosive enough. Not a high volume scorer, but you know, so I think he's got his work cut out. Casey has his work cut out, and I think that's why they went with Casey probably over maybe a couple other guys for the simple fact that he did work with Toronto. They were the number one seed. They did win a ton of games this year, so maybe he can transition that over to these younger guys.
All right, let's finish up the show talking about America's favorite pastime. And no, I'm not talking about baseball. I'm talking about the NFL, folks. There's a couple of things I wanted to go over very, very quickly. The first thing, Terrell Owens, he declines his invitation to attend the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He declines his invitation to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Before I let you go, Gene, I want to say this. Terrell Owens, you are the biggest idiot I have seen in my entire life. You have an opportunity to be enshrined with proven greatness. Proven greatness. Jerry Rice, Steve Largent. You have that opportunity to be inducted into pretty much pro football heaven. And you're up here telling them, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll see you later. You are the biggest, all because you weren't the first. You wasn't on the first ballot. Look,
yep, that's what it boiled down to.
There's very few receivers that went on that were first ballot Hall of Fame. Very few.
I think he that was said, and I think that's what the original. I think that's what it was about. You know, you wanted to go, you wanted to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was on. I think The Herd a couple days ago, and you know, and Callan, what's his, is Callan Coward or whatever his name is, or he was like laying into T.O. I mean, as far as just everything, because I think T.O. made the statement of, I'm 44 years old and I think I can still compete with the best of them out there. Right. So I'm like, when you say some crap like that, you know, it just this whole Hall of Fame situation just pretty much self-explanatory. Like, T.O.'s being an idiot. And I think with all the crap that he done in his career, all the stuff that was publicized in the media, and you know, you wasn't the first ballot Hall of Famer, but you're still going to go because you were that good of a receiver.
Yep.
And you know, sometimes, you know, I think sometimes people get selfish, and I think he's having one of those selfish moments, like, well, I'm better than such and such, and I'm better than whoever got there before me. It's the same situation of why they didn't give you the ball while you was playing. He was always crying about the ball, so it's the same thing, and I think it's more T.O.'s character than it is anything else.
Just terrible. It's a bad look for him. Bad look. It's a very bad look. While you trying to punish those in the hall, the hall ain't going nowhere, man. The hall is going to be there whether you take this induction or not. You're letting a lot of those who fought for you to get in, your fans, you let a lot of people down. And it's just a bad look. Just a bad look. And he's up here talking about something. He's going to have a celebration somewhere else. Really, dude? Where you going? Wild Wings?
Yeah, where you going? Where you going to have a celebration at? Buffalo Wild Wings?
Exactly.
There's nothing bigger than the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, whatever celebration you have, we won't know about it because they don't televise.
Exactly.
No, that maybe that type of celebration he's going to have, but
exactly.
I think he screwed himself up for future business endeavors.
I think
so
too.
Because it might have been an opportunity, you know. Once you became a Hall of Famer, it was like, okay, we'll set aside some of that BS that you were on, and we'll give you some endorsements here and there. I think he screwed himself out of everything.
I think he did too. A couple of things real quickly. We have a lot, well, not a lot, but we have a couple of New England Patriots fans that's a part of this network. I'm talking to you, Rage. I'm talking to you, Surfer. Julian Edelman is facing a 4-game suspension for violating the PED policy. He was hurt, and now he's facing a possible 4-game suspension. can the Patriots continue to survive without their best receiver?
I think they can.
Well, by them being in that division, which is pretty much a cakewalk, I think they'll be okay. And by the time they get into the meat of the schedule, that's when Edelman will be back. So, maybe
I mean, because you got, well, you have Gronkowski still there, you know, and terrific time, and he's not retiring no time soon.
Nope.
And you know what? And over the even Hernandez, even when he was there, despite his, you know, murder convictions or whatever, he still was a solid receiver, and I think New England has a way of making players in that system good, and I think they'll get another receiver to step right up and just do just what he's supposed to do. So I don't think there's a fall off. I think, you know, Edelman's kind of, you know, got a few years, you know, probably left in this game anyway. You know, not saying that he can't still, you know, perform at a high level, but
right.
I think they can still manage by getting someone else in there, and you won't see that much of a drop off.
We'll see what they do. Like I said, just because of the division in its own right, they should be fine. By the time they really get into the middle of their schedule on their tough games, hopefully he'll be back healthy, and Tom Brady can go from there. A couple other players were in the news today over contract issues. Wide receiver Julio Jones says he won't attend Falcons minicamp amid contract extension talks. Aaron Donald, defensive end for the Rams, was pretty much saying the same thing, the same ilk, that he won't be in camp due to contract issues. I don't understand why these teams aren't taking care of their superstar players, particularly with the Falcons. And the Rams, too, because Aaron Donald is very important to that line. He's the meat and potatoes of it. Aaron Donald makes it go. Julio, you need him healthy, and you need him in camp learning that playbook. Him and Calvin Ridley can be a very good combination, the receiver they picked up in the draft from Alabama. I don't understand, and I get that it's a business. I do. I understand that point. But at the same time, yeah, you got to get to camp, man. You got to get to camp. You got to build that rapport with your quarterback. True, for a vet, it's not the same as you are as a rookie, but you still need to have a good camp to be ready for the season.
Yeah, they should start working out together early as possible. I think this situation was with Julio was like a 3-day event or something like that, and I think he's guaranteed to make base salary. I think $10 million. I think the Falcons only have a little over $7 million cap space. The thing is with Julio Jones, because he is a great receiver, I'm kind of like in between on this one, because I feel like, you know, I understand, like you said, it is a business, and at the end of the day, you know, whether he has family or not or whatever, when you're putting yourself out there, you risk an injury that could be season-ending or career-ending, and you want to be able to compensate these guys for, you know, for their work.
Right.
With Julio, I don't know if I'm in agreement with what he's doing. You know what I mean? I mean, show up. I mean, because somebody or some contract of some player at some point must have got signed. He felt like, hey, I'm Julio Jones. The Atlanta Falcons been in the playoffs the last, 3 years? But that is because of Matt Ryan, too. I mean, he's a good quarterback, and he knows how to look for Julio Jones. I think they work hand-in-hand, but when these guys start doing this crap of holding out camps and doing all this, I think they should make it policy, and it is policy that you have to have to be there, you know, especially when the mandatory camp starts. I think regionals is this is a voluntary. I don't know if it's voluntary, but it's a mandatory mini camp, and I think it's a 3-day thing, like I said. But you know, I mean, you got to find him. I mean, you find him, and I mean, because those contracts are so iffy in the NFL, you know, they're mostly incentive-based contracts in the NFL. You know, you really got to, you know, work. So if that's his, you know, his gripe that I am performing and I feel like that they're not paying me for my performance because this is a performance-based or league, you know, but I think it hurts those other guys. And it's still early, but, you know, those guys be crying about those millions of dollars. I mean, come on, you know, hey, you know, $2-3 million here, I guess it is a big deal, you know, but they make a lot of money, so shut the hell up.
He probably saw the deals Antonio Brown got. He probably saw that. He probably saw Matt Ryan get all that money, too.
Yeah, Matt Ryan got a pretty good contract. But yeah, like I said, I think Matt Ryan is the piece to that because, you know, with any other teams, I mean, you know, you take that, you take Tom Brady away from New England, you know, what do you have? Right. You know what I mean? And you put in another quarterback that doesn't know the system, hasn't been there. Matt Ryan's been there. He knows what's up. And so it starts up front. And it starts with those guys. You know, maybe that's his thing. He's 29 years old. I don't know. Maybe he feel like his window's closing next year or two. Mm-hmm. He wants to tap out on some extra money. But to me, it's, you know, why are you guys crying?
Yeah, really. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for us. Please check all our other shows out right here on Rant Eaton Radio. Tomorrow night we start with the Shining Wizards at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by the Rant at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Friday we'll have Rant and Wrestling, followed by Turnbuckle Throwbacks with my brothers Phil Raya and Choppy. Sunday we'll come right back around with you again, hit you up with the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer. He'll go over everything comics and movie related. I don't know what more he can, well, you never know with Surfer. You gotta check out his show, because Surfer can come out with anything, man. This one, you think he has nothing to talk about, Surfer will create. So definitely check out What You Read comic book show at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Rant Wrestling, I believe, will be on at 7 on Friday night, followed by 9 p.m. for Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And then, of course, it'll be this fine show, the Sports Report, episode 55, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, right after Monday Night Raw. Gene, is there anything else you want to hit up, anything you want to promote, anything you want to say before we get on out of here for the night?
Yeah. Well, you said, you know, what team that you think LeBron would more likely go to. What's your opinion? What do you think about that?
I would love to see San Antonio, because I'd love to see him with Pop. I really would. The popular opinion out is the Lakers, and for the life of me, I don't see why you would do the Lakers. Only way I can see him going to the Lakers, he got to recruit people to come with him. He'll have to get like a Paul George with them. He'll have to get somebody or Chris Paul or somebody like that with them to make that work out of L.A. And other than the Spurs, and I like the Spurs for another reason. If you look at coaches who's been successful against Golden State, I'm not saying Pop is undefeated against them. I'm not saying that. But if you look at coaches, a coach that could break them down and make them work would be Pop.
Yeah, it would be Pop because of the discipline there. But it's just one thing about going to like a Lakers or a Philly. One thing they always say, oh, we got enough money to get LeBron. But I've come to find out that in order to get a talent like LeBron, I think you would ultimately have to give up some pieces.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? And that might disturb what he could possibly do there, because now it changes the system.
Yep.
Yep.
It changes, you know, adding extra players. So that's always one thing that I always say. They'd be like, well, he can go here, he can go here. I said, yeah, but sometimes you got to think about, I mean, this guy is going to pull in a hefty contract. I think Cleveland just offered him $35.4 million a year. So, you know, that's a pretty hefty payday.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, hot dog going up $4, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, but my whole point is I mean, you ultimately got to give up something in that roster.
Right.
To make that move for him. And I think what San Antonio has put together, I think it's the most out of any team in the NBA right now. I think that's the best move for him in his career at this point. Not for championship-wise, but for, you know, to let LeBron know, like, this is what you missed for 15 years.
Right.
A coach like Greg Popovich.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and hopefully he can find some success with that. But I would actually want him to go to San Antonio, nowhere else. There wouldn't even be no doubt in my mind.
And I'll tell you another thing, too, if you're the Lakers. The only player I wouldn't give up, if let's say, for example, LeBron decides not to opt out, and he decides not to opt out, signing trades become available at that point. And the thing, I wouldn't give up Kyle Kuzma, because I would keep Kyle Kuzma for that shot. But anybody else on that roster would be free game at that point.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be free game.
The thing up, like Kyle Kuzma, he reminds me of a Jason Tatum, somewhat similar, you know, similar game, good length. The guy can play both ends of the floor,
right?
And that's what I like, you know, about that. And then you go to the other guy, the other young kid they have.
Brent.
Real long.
Julius Randle?
What's his name?
Randle?
Not Randle. The one other kid, man, he's pretty good, and I like him. Let's see. What the heck is his name? Oh, my God. I can't even. Wait a minute. Let me go here. Let me try to do something real quick. And what's it? Brandon Ingram.
Okay. Yeah. That's the one dude that Magic never. That's the one dude that Magic didn't want to trade.
Yeah, he wanted to hold on to Ingram because Ingram, man, this guy's got. I mean, he's got some potential. But you know, you got Tyler Ennis down there. You got Luol Deng is still on the roster down there.
That's a bad contract. That's a bad contract.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, so you know, I don't. Gary Payton II. You know, he's down there, but he's like a D leaguer. He goes back and forth. So for me, I don't think they can give up enough. I'm sure they can get him, but I don't know if they can put something with him.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, that's the thing with that. And then, like I said, I think going to the West, and I'll say this, I think going to the West, being able to make it to the finals, the Western Conference Finals, and play Golden State, and have an opportunity to beat them in the West, would cap off his career. San Antonio is a team that can do that.
Well, they'll definitely have to get some other pieces. The backcourt would have to get younger, but in terms of Pop having that system, he can definitely do it. You make up with Kawhi, you make up with him, you bring Bron in, you got LaMarcus Aldridge, and that's one thing that Golden State they really have an issue with is quality size. And
right.
You'll have that because you can play, if you wanted to, you can play Kawhi at the 2, Bron at the 3.
We're in San Antonio?
In San Antonio.
Yeah, I think you can make it work. Only reason why I say you can make it work is because Kawhi is not a point forward.
Right.
And LeBron is a point forward.
Yep.
So you can kind of make it work with LeBron bringing the ball up some of the time or however they want to do it. I think, you know, CJ, like I keep saying that name because I want them to reach out to him.
I love CJ
McCollum.
And you can
put him off as the off guard. It makes a lot. It makes defenses really have to defend you. But to go back to the Lakers, you got to remember there's Brook Lopez there.
Now Brook is gone.
Caldwell Pope, Channing Frye, Julius Randle.
I thought Brook Lopez.
And then there's one guy.
I thought Brook Lopez.
There's one guy down there that.
I thought Brook Lopez was gone.
No, Brook's still there.
Okay.
Yep, Brook is still there.
Okay.
And you might be thinking about his brother, but it's one guy down there that we know that ain't going to work, and that's Isaiah Thomas. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
He's all hipped out. He's hipped out, man. It's over with.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had some little shrewd remarks about LeBron anyway, so, you know, Magic Johnson ain't going to bring a guy down there, and this clown was there talking crazy and ain't done nothing in 2 years.
Right.
Almost a year and a half. So it was 2 years. So, you know, but like I said, but when we talk that starting lineup for San Antonio, because you have LaMarcus Aldridge there, you know, you have some good guards coming off the bench. That's Patty Mills. You got the Simmons kid. So there's some pieces there. I don't think San Antonio's bench was as strong as it's been in past years.
Mm-mm.
But when you add LeBron to a starting lineup and you shift players, that could possibly be it could possibly make them a little bit stronger. But I think just with him being with Pop, because I think Pop genuinely cares about him.
Right.
Not about his play.
And that could
be a big difference in his career.
It definitely could. It definitely could. All right, man. If there is nothing else, I want to thank Doom for calling in. I want to thank Gene for calling in. I want to thank everybody who joined us for all the post-game shows. Everybody who joined us tonight, I do appreciate you guys being here with me tonight. We'll be back next Monday, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, right here on Rant EM Radio. Please join us, and we'll see you then. Gene, thank you, man.
Yep, no doubt.
All right, man.
Yes, we got it.